Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to MILF Talk. Make your life fabulous with Sophie Venable, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to MILF Talk. Make your life fabulous. I'm Sophie Venable. And whether you are married with children, single, divorced, poly, somehow all of the above, I am talking to you about love, life, relationships, dating, sex, and apparently a little gossip today.
Gossip?
Yes. And that, my dear friends, is my dear friend, Todd Robert Anderson.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me. You're a lovely crowd.
And they love you.
They really seem supportive.
Yes, I love you for loving me, and we love each other.
Yes.
So it's all good. And that's showbiz.
That's showbiz.
Folks. So, yes, it is to the end of 2019 almost.
Almost.
Almost. And
sayonara 2019.
You've been, I don't know what.
Don't let the door hit you on the ass on your way out.
Yes, I agree. There have been some fun times, some good times. There's been a lot. It's been an up and down kind of roller coaster year.
Sure.
And if you've been on, the media that's social, it's been kind of ugly.
Dark and tumultuous.
Dark and tumultuous. Also, beautiful and inspiring. It's like we truly are polarized. We are really just at a time, I think, in history and just whether it's good and bad, male, female, big pharma, natural medicine, Republican, Democrat, like it doesn't matter. Everybody's just like
pulling. Polarized within our polarizations. Is that a word?
I know what you're saying.
We're micro polarized while being macro polarized at the same time.
Sure. Like without talking about specifically what I'm pretty sure you're talking about, let's say it would be as though acupuncturists and Reiki healers were like fighting with each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It would be like that.
Yes. And so everybody's got to be right.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's weird. I was talking to a friend of mine about that and he's like, I think it boils down to this. As individuals, we all are fascists and we all want to run the country.
Well, I think there's a very, very deep need. Okay, I'll just use the word need. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think there's a very primal need to be right.
Sure.
Right now. Like because it has to do with your ego survival.
Mm-hmm.
And so and even when we talk about negative talk, let's say I'm never going to get this job or I'm never going to, be in a relationship or that's never going to work out for me, blah, blah, blah. Part of that, I contend, is a need to be right.
Sure.
So that when shit doesn't go well, you can say, I told you so.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it.
So when, like Michael Jordan said, the worst thing that can happen, like imagine yourself winning, because the worst thing that can happen is it won't turn out the way you thought it would.
Right.
He's not even saying you won't win or that you won't won't make the shot or that if you don't make the shot that you'll lose. Like he's just saying imagine the best outcome because the worst thing that's going to happen is it doesn't turn out the way that you thought it would. But that's kind of bad for people. That feels painful for people. They're like, they're like, but that's horrible. Then I'm wrong. They don't really realize that, But a lot of our negative talk has to do with really wanting to be able to say, I told you so. I wasn't a fool. I didn't get my hopes up.
I think so. That's so true. I definitely feel that way. I feel that way about when people talk about politics and pop culture at this point.
Yes.
Is that everybody's pointing things out now. So when things shake out a year or so down the road,
mm-hmm.
however it turns out,
sure.
then they will be able to say, well, it's not me. It's you.
And you know what we don't do that with? Weddings. We don't do that with weddings. We spend $50,000 saying this shit's going to last forever.
Right, that's a good point.
Okay? No, people don't say it about weddings. They're like, we're going to invite everybody. We're going to stand up. We're going to make a vow. We're going to promise all these things. We're going to proclaim our love forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, a year or two or 10 when down the line, when it doesn't work out, you know, they're not saying, I told you so. I mean, sometimes they do. Sometimes they realize they weren't listening to a voice and they admit maybe to a friend or whatever. But here's the thing. Who cares if they were wrong? They were believing in love. Like it's like that's one area where people are willing to think positively.
That's good,
right?
Point, yeah.
And so the measure of a relationship and whether it was valuable in your life is not how long it lasts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say that taking it all the way and getting married is going to cost you a lot more money when it doesn't work out. It's going to be a lot more complicated when it doesn't work out.
Right.
Because you've stated an end game.
Yes.
You know, you've invested in an end game. But ultimately, like, I think if we could think about some of the other things in our lives the way we think about marriage.
Yeah.
And we could just be like, my book's going to be a bestseller and all my friends are going to come to a party and we're all going to say how this is going to be a bestseller. And if it's not, whatever, we had a great time.
Right, right.
Like, you know, I know that I put it out there. I'm not actually having a party to say that my book's going to be a bestseller. It was just the first thing that came to my mind. So what we were going to talk about today was how many breakups there have been, public breakups, in 2019. And I certainly don't have an exhaustive list, but...
Oh, well, and there's certainly not enough time to go over all the private breakups.
No, those are everywhere.
Just public figures.
But here's the thing. I was in the market the other day, and I'm looking at the tabloids. And this is what... It kind of gets to me, you know, because one, I feel really bad about Jennifer Aniston and all 40 of the pregnancies that she's had.
Oh, yeah.
And... We're still talking about whether she and Brad are going to get back together.
Are we?
Oh my God! It's like yes.
See, I don't look at the tabloids.
I know. Oh, you got to check.
I'll look
out,
at
man.
The world news because they have aliens and like giant animals and stuff.
Yeah,
like running amok. I like those. I've never really cared all that much about who's dating and
yeah.
I mean,
but people do like they
no,
really
I know.
Care. Like it sells magazines and they want to know like. You know, Brad and Jen like spoke to each other at a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Event, and so they're obviously getting back together. Or I saw one headline that said Courtney Cox grinned when asked if Jen and Brad would get back together. That was a headline, like in an article.
Courtney Cox grinned.
Grinned.
Okay.
What?
I mean,
okay, that's reaching, right?
That
that's
is,
like what?
That is reaching. That's really struggling. For
like she sneezed
news.
Or breathed,
yeah.
Or you know, because we care about Brad and Jen, assuming which means that we assume that they're like they were a really happy couple, or that their relationship was would still be good for them.
Right.
We're making a lot of assumptions.
And he broke up with Angelina.
I guess it's really hard to know. I think they did, and you know they're. I don't know.
I
mean,
know
the, you know, the last pictures I saw of Angelina, and this is just when I'm standing in line in the market, people. Angelina's depressed and skinny and losing too much weight, and you know, or what? I mean, I don't know if any of this is true. This is just what the covers are saying. Mm-hmm. You know, just. And she and Brad are viciously fighting or whatever, and
right.
He's in love with Jen. And so I don't know. But
yeah.
The idea, the thing that I think makes me a little bit crazy is that we kind of worship the lifestyle, right, of being famous.
Rich and famous.
Right.
More famous than rich these days.
Yes.
Because people just want to be famous.
And beautiful.
Yeah.
And they want to be... appreciated for being beautiful.
And people will be famous for very little money at this point, which is bizarre to me. Like, I don't know why you... Like, fame seems like, as an actor, fame seems like kind of an unfortunate byproduct of getting rich doing what I do, if I were to.
Right. What did you just say? You said people are willing to be famous...
For no money.
For no money, yes. That's insane.
I mean, and it's like certainly in my career struggles these days, you know, is getting essentially underbid by younger people mm-hmm. who will do what I do, but they'll do it for nothing. Sure. I mean, you talk about, you compare, like, I won't do non-union commercial work. I won't be in a non-union commercial because...
Right. You're shooting yourself in your foot.
Yeah, because it doesn't pay very well.
Right.
Let's even say it's a good paying one.
Right, probably doesn't have any residuals or anything like that.
Yeah, so you walk out of the door maybe with $2,000 mm-hmm. and that's all you see. And then that commercial runs for 2-3 years mm-hmm. and you don't see any more money. Yeah. And then you get known for that commercial. And then you can get into trouble with commercials if it airs too much and mm-hmm. you're too associated with the commercial.
Right, so you need to be compensated.
It gets harder to get other work.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing that people will, and people really do it for a lot less than $2,000.
Oh,
they'll do it like for $400.
No, in my past life, I was married to a composer, and there are certain companies, giant companies that shall not remain nameless, Disney, that that don't pay royalties. It's one thing to take the publishing, because the company has maybe paid for the actual production of the music. They've paid for the musicians. They've paid for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they take publishing, and then the writer, the composer, gets the artist share. Well, certain companies take both. They actually take the artist share. They actually take it and keep it.
Mm-hmm.
So they're paying themselves back, basically. So every time it runs, they pay themselves, right? Because mm-hmm. they don't have to pay somebody else. So that's like a buyout, right?
Right.
And there are composers that are willing to do that, and they work for very cheap. And so that hurts, you know, other people all the time.
Right.
So, but they're willing to do it. But now composers don't have to deal with the kind of fame or visual recognition that actors do, right?
That's true.
So like you said, for you, there needs to be a compensation. So here we are with the business version of MILF.
Well, you know.
I know. But the point being that people are so willing to be famous.
They just want to be on TV. It doesn't matter if it's in a crappy commercial as long as they get seen a lot. You know what I mean? Whereas I'm like, I'm going, why? Like, to me, commercials are not art. I don't do them because I'm passionate about selling any given product.
It's a craft.
I do them because I'm an actor and I'm a craftsman, and I can make money with my craft there.
Right.
But it requires me to make money. I'm not going through the rigmarole for $400.
Right.
You know, I'm not doing
it. Because the goal is not to be famous. The goal is to make a living. It is your craft. It's what you do.
Exactly.
And if you don't think artists are valuable, live a month without books or movies or music or TV or anything.
Yeah.
And tell me that artists are not important to your way of life. Somebody's got to go out there and make stuff.
Yeah. So, and the people higher up in these entertainment industries who continue to devalue artists mm-hmm. and screw them out of more and more money, which mm-hmm. I've certainly seen in my career. There's more and more ways to get me to work for a lot less than I should mm-hmm. be working.
Sure.
And in my message to all of them is to think about this,
mm-hmm.
because eventually, like, once too many people who are talented and who have done good work
mm-hmm.
and know they're not famous and know they might not have a gazillion Twitter followers or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but you're going to lose them mm-hmm. because these hobby acting careers, hobby musician careers, you can't live off them.
Right.
So you can't dedicate yourself to being available to movies and television production if you have to work a full-time job. You can't get out to
auditions. It's one or the other.
So if you're not paying us enough,
mm-hmm.
you're going to lose us.
Right.
And then you're going to have less professional actors, less talented actors doing this work for free. And mm-hmm. you're going to be saving money, but down the line, it's going to screw you.
And if you want proof, just look at any other industry. I mean, at first, my Jim was one of the only people, like, he would actually say, no, I'm not going to take that job because you're taking my residuals, and that's not right, you know. And then enough, you know, talented composers come up and they're willing to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it happens. You know, bigger population means more artists, you know, but that's your proof. So how this relates to these people.
These people
we got off on a little tangent.
These people are rich and don't have the problems that I'm talking about, but they still, just like me, can get into bad relationships.
Well, yes. And here's the thing is that they those people are revered. Okay.
Sure.
Let's say,
well, most of
or
them are
you
list.
Or you want to look like them or be like them, and you look at them and you say they have everything.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And yet, when you say they have everything, if I just, you know, look this way and present myself this way and buy this dress and buy this, you know, butt lifter and wear my hair a certain way, that I'm going to have everything. Because that is, whether you want to believe it or not, that is the subconscious or conscious message that you're getting. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the very next week, their life is just splattered all over the front pages. And oftentimes it's with a breakup. You know,
that's
it's
true.
Like their relationships are falling apart. And if you don't believe that your quality of life depends on the quality of your relationships, then when you, you know, have all your things and your fame and you're really fucking lonely, you're going to wonder why it didn't work out. Why didn't I get all of this like stuff and look this way? And I'm sitting here with no relationships, no good friendships. I'm fighting with my family, and I'm, you know, I can't seem to draw any love into my life because it's all about these external things. And I'm not saying that these people broke up because of that. What
right.
I'm saying is that they are humans.
Mm-hmm.
They are humans going through pain, going through breakups, and it gets splattered all over everything.
That's true.
If my breakups were news, yuck.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've got people that have been married, you know, 18 years, right? William Shatner married 18 years, right? Getting a divorce. And you've got Avril Lavigne, who's what was she together? Like 2 years, 2 years of dating. And it's news that she's breaking up. Okay.
Well, yeah, they're famous.
Avril's cool, man.
I feel like William Shatner's had a lot of wives.
I think he's had four.
One of them died.
Oh.
I met that one.
Oh.
They came into a store that I worked at and argued with me about having to supply a driver's license to use a personal check to pay for candles.
Oh. They were like, but I'm a Shatner.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. He wasn't even there at first. She expected me to know who she was just because of the name on the check. And then when I was like, I don't know who you are. Because I honestly, like, the name was on the check. William Shatner's name was on the check.
And did he, like, appear? Did he, like she, you know, like in Star Trek, did he, like,
yeah.
And then appear and go?
No, it wasn't that good.
No.
But she did go, okay, and beckon to somebody who was outside. Who came in jogging and remained jogging in place in front of me and said,
oh my God,
she's with me. And I said to him, okay, congratulations. Do you have a California driver's license that I can use for this personal check? And he was like so fucking mad.
Wow.
They called the managers over. And the manager was a Trekkie. So like he saw
okay.
who I was arguing with and like I could – see him visibly
shaking. Oh, that's
adorable. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to make this worse. But boy, was I fucking pissed off.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a minimum wage worker and,
sure.
and you're a movie and TV star and you're getting into a fight with me because I want a damn license, which is store policy. And it exists to protect the consumer, not the store, from, you know, forgery and getting ripped off and
yeah.
all that. But I was the jerk.
Yeah.
From the Shatner perspective, the minimum wage kid was the jerk.
So what I want to say about some of these people, I want to give them credit, is that like Ian Ziering, remember him?
Oh, yeah. He's the star of the Sharknado films.
Yes.
A current Chippendales dancer. Did you know that?
Like in real life?
He's a stripper.
Oh,
That's mostly what he does.
Awesome.
You can't. I don't think you can.
Was
make
he in
it,
the movie? Like, was he in the movie? The one about the male strippers?
No.
And did it just like? Did he just like it and keep rehearsing or something?
No. He was not in Magic
No,
Mike.
He just does it.
He was. He's been doing it for a long time.
Oh well, good for him.
God
Why
bless.
Not?
God
I mean,
bless.
You know,
yeah.
hey,
not that I believe in a god, but
it's probably non-union though. So
I don't think there's a stripper union, but there should be.
But there should be. Why not? Well, they were splitting up after 9 years. But, you know, his statement is that that she's the best mom to our kids, and they want to be examples of successful co-parents. And I think that there's a few couples in here who talk about being successful co-parents, and I'm sure that they're, you know, making their statements, and their agents are making their statements to the public because they have to. Is that I hope we do have more people being examples of that, you know, kind of like Demi and Bruce, you know.
They broke up so she could be with Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, but they were all like pals and, you know, raised the kids and
everybody
was groovy and they were like shots of the whole fam taken together.
And they got Rumor a bunch of jobs.
Yeah.
You know.
Probably union. Just saying.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said for that if they're going to have to be so public that they could show people by example that you can stay friends. Because really, the success of a relationship, we really do have this paradigm that the success of a relationship is determined by the length of it.
Yeah.
And you can have a really important relationship in your life that lasts 6 months that can teach you something really amazing about yourself or about life or about love. Just because somebody's married for a shorter period of time doesn't mean that the relationship wasn't valid. And if you can really internalize that, if you can really believe that, then that can also keep you from staying in something just to validate it.
That
you know,
sense.
Just to be like, well, I got to keep doing this because, like, I said I would. And I don't want it to seem like this wasn't real. You know, we all have these little deep, dark fears about how things look.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
Just because you don't keep doing something doesn't mean it wasn't valid.
I have a deep, dark fear of how I look with no clothes on. Like so white. So terrifyingly white.
But some might find that like beautifully white.
Some might, yeah.
You know? They might be like, wow, you're like... porcelain, beautiful white skin.
I think that might work for women more than men, but I'll take it.
My dad was really white. And like the whitest, his tummy was so white that even as a kid I was like, wow. Like that's really white. I know. So and I got that. My sister got all the cool olive skin. You want to like do a little rumba while we listen to a little commercial briefly?
Yes, please.
Briefly? Yeah.
Hey, this is Sophie Venable, and thanks for listening to MILF Talk. If you are a single woman wanting to draw an awesome relationship into your life, check out my new book, Intentional Dating, How to Stop Dating by Default and Attract Your Best Life Partner. This book will provide you with insight into yourself and into men and this whole thing we call dating. Figure out your blocks, get clear about what you want, and learn what actually makes a relationship work. There are amazing, kind men out there wanting to be appreciated and wanting to appreciate you. Intentional Dating is available for your Kindle, and you can order it today on Amazon. Go to Amazon and search Intentional Dating Sophie Venable, or use bit.ly link Intentional Dating with a capital I and a capital D. You can also find free and almost free resources on my website, sophievenable.com, including a texting guide, divorce guide, and a 21-day breakup recovery challenge. Thanks for listening to MILF Talk, and now let's return to the podcast.
And the paperback will be coming out in January.
Oh, yes. That's important.
Yeah, I think I'll do like a little online party, release party.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because then you get, what happens is, this is full transparency. You know how when people say like number one bestseller on Amazon? Mm-hmm. It's because it was number one bestseller for like an hour.
Oh,
yeah. Like you just have to achieve that like in the little thing. Like you just have to achieve that for like an hour or a day or whatever and take a screenshot of it.
Yeah.
Right. And then you're a number one bestseller.
Didn't someone game the New York Times bestseller list with some YA novel like a year or so ago?
I don't know.
I can't remember the name, but it was a big scandal because it was out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
It was unproven author. It wasn't like part of the series. It was like a first book kind of thing. And it was number one.
Really?
And then they realized that what had happened is they had called all these places all over the country and pre-ordered. It was before the book even came out. pre-ordered the book. So they were paying for it to get it to go up to the top.
Oh yeah,
of the world.
Like yeah. I mean, if you have the money, I suppose you could just buy your own copies, right?
But I think that's illegal.
Well, sure, you
it
would think so.
Seems
yeah.
illegal. They did get in trouble, as I recall.
Well, I would hope so. Yeah. You know, because that's a consumer issue.
Yeah, that's messed
somebody,
up.
If somebody's going to be a number one bestseller on the New York Times list, well, you know.
Yeah, there are.
It's just like a number one bestseller on Amazon. Yeah. I would hope everybody would know that's just a scam.
Well, I feel like that just happened.
So help me. So yeah. help me.
I think that just happened again with one of our higher up government employees releasing a book.
And they
paid for a lot of copies of it to make it look good.
You know, oh gosh, no. Well, it might just be fun to have a little online party, just see if it can happen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know,
so. That's a different ball of wax.
That's a different ball of wax. Let's together see if we can make it happen.
Okay,
you know, it'll be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, So one of the ones you were asking about was Jim Carrey. Right.
Yeah, mostly because I had no idea that he had a relationship with Ginger.
Oh yeah, Ginger Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. Yeah. She was on an episode of You're the Worst.
Oh.
And she did my web series, The Film Pigs, back when we had it.
Oh.
So I met her. I she's very cool. I had no idea that she was going out with Jim Carrey. No clue. Until today.
Well, it sounds like it was a short-lived thing, right? They started dating in January, and they broke up some months ago. And, you know, he thinks she's incredibly unbelievable, a wicked talent, and an amazing person.
She is. She's very... She is. I like
cool.
her a lot.
Well, and Jim... He's been going through some stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's been going through some stuff, it seems like, for at least 15 years now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's been very open about depression. Right.
Right?
And also, it's interesting because when he would do those interviews with people and he would sort of talk about how his personality really isn't him and he's not really Jim Carrey and mm-hmm. all that stuff. I think he maybe had been reading some Gary Zukav or something.
Uh-huh.
Like The Seat of the Soul and like getting very... spiritual about the personality,
mm-hmm.
like that our personality is a temporary temporary reflection of our soul. Our soul is eternal, but our personal reality and our personality come to serve the soul in this lifetime.
Oh, okay.
But that is not necessarily like that which we grow up and we're told who we are and who we become is not real, that
right.
that's just the ego.
Sure.
So he was talking about egolessness, but he was really like fucking with these reporters, basically. Like they, you know, they'd be talking to him about himself and he'd be like, well, but that's not me, that's just
right the, right. He gave a lot of very strange interviews.
He gave some very strange interviews.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's more interesting in those interviews is to look at the interviewer
right.
in the situation.
Going, what now?
So I don't know. I kind of liked it in a way. I was like, oh, I don't know. There was just something challenging about it.
I love Jim Carrey, the actor and performer, very much. His off-camera antics, like as far as things I've read, are very odd. They're very strange.
Very odd, yeah.
And I think sometimes somewhat destructive. But then he found his painting, and that seems mm-hmm. to have refocused him.
Yeah.
His, you know, politics through this art that he does. He seems to have calmed down. He's gone from being sort of a reactionary, crazy person saying weird things to being... a reactionary person.
More responsive.
Who's
responding to it as opposed to just reacting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That is our responsibility, that we can respond to something as opposed to being reactive. Because when we're reactive, we're just... Nobody's really hearing you when you're reactive and when you're yelling in anger, as we can see with all this polarization that's going on.
True.
You know, in social media, et cetera. Nobody's really hearing you when you're just being reactive. When you can respond to something, when you can take it in and respond.
Through art. Is
through art or even through conscious conversation, through even just conversation that's at a normal decibel.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And that might not be using aggressive language.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can be heard more. And for someone like Jim Carrey, who's dealing with, openly dealing with depression and dealing with his, you know, chosen craft and however that's affected him and his behavior and his personality. And he's channeled that energy basically into something expressive enough for himself that he's, like you said, hopefully calmer, hopefully more at peace, you know?
Yeah.
And see, here you have somebody who's, you know, super famous, done a bazillion films and made a bazillion dollars. And he's just, you know, dating and finding relationship and breaking up just like every other human.
That's true.
And
the dinners that he takes women out on, I bet, are a lot nicer than the dinners, you know, that I might be able to afford. Well, but it's all the same, I guess.
It is, and yes, he has an interesting life, and he's got, you know, probably plenty to talk about if he wants to talk about it.
Right.
I mean, there is a lot of assumption that goes on. You know, a lot of comedians in general are actually very quiet, shy, and sometimes have a ton of social anxiety.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're just really, they can do their thing, like, with the camera rolling.
They're extroverted introverts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they...
It's easier to communicate on this large level than it is on a more intimate level. Mm-hmm.
Or to step into being someone else. Performer, or stepping into being a character as opposed to being yourself. Which is why I've always thought that stand-up comedy is just such a brave thing, particularly when you're not doing it from a real caricature place. You know, right. You're really just like... putting yourself out there, yeah. Like, assuming you're going to make people laugh. That is terrifying.
That's to me. Yeah. If there was stand-up that didn't require, you know, jokes, I'd totally be comfortable doing that.
Well, that would be like a poetry night.
Yeah, but I don't want to do that.
Right. Or open mic night.
Just like standing on stage and talking to people, mm-hmm. like the caveat of you have to be funny.
Right.
That's what makes it terrifying. To me. Yeah.
I would completely agree.
I can stand up in front of an audience and tell them a story regardless of whether, you know, if there's not that pressure of I've got to get in this many jokes, then I'm more relaxed in that capacity. But once it's got the onus of having to be funny,
No.
I find it terrifying.
No. And you have to like, craft it, and you have to be funny a certain amount of times. And
yeah,
you have to be,
well, and
you know,
funny
really
is
be,
subjective,
of course.
You know, you're not going to be funny everywhere you go. Not everybody's going to find you funny. It's a hard gig.
It is.
A lot of stand-ups tend to be depressed. Speaking of depression, that's what I noticed when I did it back in the '90s.
In the '90s,
early '90s, mm-hmm. in New York and Boston.
The only thing scarier, I think, might be being a mime.
That's a different kind of crazy.
And a different kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why you choose that, but it's
I have a friend who's a mime.
Yeah? Like professional mime?
Yeah, you just did a national commercial.
Oh, that's cool.
I know.
Miming. That's great.
I know. I don't know that's all he does, though.
No, no. Yeah, you don't want all your eggs in one mime basket.
Yeah.
For one, it won't hold the eggs because it's not there. Right. You're a mime.
That basket's not real.
It's not a real basket.
It's not a real basket. So you know who else had a little breakup?
Who?
A couple that was so private we're not even really sure that they were together.
Okay.
Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx.
I did not know.
Which I have
together.
To say is a pretty hot couple. That's a pretty hot pairing, I think.
That's interesting though.
Yeah.
Because Katie Holmes used to be married to Tom Cruise.
Mm.
Tom Cruise was in a movie called Collateral with Jamie Foxx.
Ooh.
And now she's breaking up with Jamie Foxx. It's all very confusing.
Oh, wait. So how recently was the Collateral movie?
Oh, this is years ago.
Oh, okay. Because they've apparently been dating for like 6 years.
It might be privately. It might be older than 6 years, but that's interesting.
Maybe he came over for dinner or something.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she hung out and talked to him during the making of Collateral, directed by Michael Mann.
I bet they were very charming together.
Tom Cruise and Jamie Foxx?
No, Katie Holmes and Jamie Foxx.
I'm sure they were.
Tom Cruise.
I'm sure they
Please,
were.
Please, Sorry.
Oh, you don't think he'd be charming?
Yeah.
I hear he's real charming in person.
I bet he is.
He makes it all about you.
Oh, is that it?
It's yeah. Mind control, they call it.
Ah, yes. Well, you know, he jumped on a sofa and stuff about
it. Learn it at the church.
Yep.
Although I heard a rumor he's leaving it.
I heard that rumor, too. I mean, I didn't hear it. I read it when I was at the market. I read it on one of the magazine covers. Yeah.
See, that's the kind of tabloid fodder that gets me going. I don't care who's dating who, but it's like when people talk about leaving their religion, I get excited.
Well, I know. But it's really interesting that when you think, well, okay, so the church, here's the thing. You would think that he could leave because apparently, you know, they have all this stuff on you because they make you do these confessions and stuff
right,
like that.
Right.
And I mean, and this is true. I mean, I know people have been on the inside. Like,
so
I mean,
do I.
It's this is real shit.
Yeah,
it's
no, it's
fucking
not.
Bizarre. And actually, my I won't say who. She was at a like an acting class that she didn't know was being held at the Celebrity Center, and she could actually it was so bizarre because in this acting class she could actually overhear the training that they were giving the monitors, like the people who were supposed to monitor the people on the thing, and like she's like it was so disturbing. Because they were doing like rehearsals, like they were doing training about,
right.
you know, really, really digging into people about confessing all their shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's called exploitation and blackmail.
Yeah, gross.
So that's not, I wouldn't say that that's probably in alignment with like love. But
no.
If the church has all this stuff on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they've used him to make the church look good.
Mm-hmm.
If he leaves the church and they expose all the stuff about him,
right?
They're exposing themselves to be what everybody has said they are.
Right.
So it would seem to me that they wouldn't want to just expose him.
Whatever they have on him. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know.
And really, well, what can they have on him? Like, he's gay or something? Like, who cares?
Well, you know, that's the old rumor. But, you know, at this point, there may be other stuff.
Yeah.
It may be stuff they have on him that has happened within the church.
Well, yeah. I mean,
because I read Going Clear, and it's
pretty dark.
He's deeply involved in dark stuff.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it, you know, if there's one thing that would get somebody to leave a situation like that, I would think it would be to get your kid back.
For sure.
You know, I mean, there's a point at which that's just
more
not
important.
Okay. That's more important.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So anyway, if that's the case, I wish him well with it, and I hope that he finds some happiness. And if it somehow destroys his, you know, leading man career, like, I don't know, he's kind of fulfilled about every role that you can fulfill.
Yeah, he's totally fine.
Totally fine. I'm not gonna feel super bad about any creative opportunity that he loses out on.
I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that his career would be destroyed. It might be like a dicey thing that he has to deal with for a while. But I don't think he's gonna. He's not gonna get Kevin Spacey or anything like that. He's not gonna.
No,
I can't imagine they have anything on that level that would destroy his career.
Probably not. And then it would all come with a grain of salt anyway.
Exactly.
You know what? He could just say, like, they're just making up shit.
Yeah.
And everybody would probably believe him.
Yeah, for sure. Especially if he was, like, especially if he combated it with, I was in a cult, you know.
Sure.
And admitted to
sure.
that.
Sure.
And then it'd be easier for him to say, they're a cult. They're making stuff up.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it sort of depends on how he tackled that.
We're going to play this little commercial one more time, and then I have a question about the cult thing for you. I need an opinion. Wait, hold on. And go.
Hey, this is Sophie Venable, and thanks for listening to MILF Talk. If you are a single woman wanting to draw an awesome relationship into your life, check out my new book, Intentional Dating: How to Stop Dating by Default and Attract Your Best Life Partner. This book will provide you with insight into yourself and into men and this whole thing we call dating. Figure out your blocks, get clear about what you want, and learn what actually makes a relationship work. There are amazing, kind men out there wanting to be appreciated and wanting to appreciate you. Intentional Dating is available for your Kindle, and you can order it today on Amazon. Go to Amazon and search Intentional Dating Sophie Venable, or use bit.ly link Intentional Dating with a capital I and a capital D. You can also find free and almost free resources on my website, sophievenable.com, including a texting guide, divorce guide, and a 21-day breakup recovery challenge. Thanks for listening to MILF Talk, and now let's return to the podcast.
All these celebrities should take my 21-day breakup recovery challenge.
Yeah, they should.
I should send it to them.
Yeah, send it to all of them.
Yeah, send it to all of them. I heard you went through something. Try this. Oh. It's just a little challenge every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to help you get some clarity, file your emotions, kind of figure out what you, you know, want. If you check it out on my website, it's kind of a pay what you can thing, $3, $6, $9, whatever. If you can't afford any of those, just email me. And yeah, because it's good. It can help you kind of get from... you know, through the deep dark hole, like into the light a little bit about your situation.
Yeah.
So you just
perspective.
Yeah, a little perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm all about perspective.
It's a huge thing.
Yeah.
And easy to lose.
Oh yes. Especially when you're the thing that changes is your expectation. When you're in a relationship and you expect it to be there always.
Right.
And it becomes part of your identity. Then especially when it becomes part of your identity, you don't really pay attention or recognize or want to admit the things that really aren't working for you. And so when it kind of all comes crumbling down, there's a sense of shame around it instead of a sense of, well, maybe this just wasn't the situation that was actually serving me, because you don't want to be in a relationship that's not, that your partner doesn't want to be in.
Right.
That's, you know, we're talking about partnership here.
Yeah.
And so you can lose all of that perspective about whether or not it's working for you, because you're just happy to be in a couple.
Right.
So happy to be coupled and so happy to be not single. I've literally had women say to me, I don't want to break up with them because I don't want to go through a breakup. I'm like, oh, okay. Wait a minute now.
Wait, hold on.
Okay. Yeah. So how do you think this is going to end? I don't know, but I don't want to go through a breakup. Okay, so how's it going to get better?
Yeah,
probably not.
You know? Not gonna.
So it's very, it's just, you know, it's like going to the dentist. You know, sometimes you just got to get that tooth pulled.
Right.
But that's the nice thing about doing this little 21-day challenge is that it could just help you kind of fit. They're like little challenges, like little actual physical things that you can do, like write these things down and do these things to kind of get you out of yourself a little bit and just file your emotions around it. It's kind of a cool process.
Sounds helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, it's helpful. And if you, one of the other things that's on the site, if you get the book, is you can find in there a 26-page PDF that goes along with the book. So you have, it's the book is almost closer to a workbook than it is just a, you know, inspirational self-help book. It really is taking you through exercises. Yes, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Definitely interactive. No, it really requires you to do the work. And if you're not interested in, what happens is it when somebody says like, well, where do I find men and how do I meet men and how do I fix men and how do I, you know, it's like, okay, well, we're going to start with you. We're going to start with your perspective. We're going to start with how you feel about being single and what you believe about the men out there. And that's when you know whether they actually want to do the work or not.
Right.
Because right. They're just like, well, wait, what do I text this guy back? I'm like, okay, I can help you with that. But what we're really going to look at is why you're so worried about texting back the perfect thing right now.
Right.
Like that this text is going to make or break
everything,
you know. So, which actually, one of these guys, I know I said I was going to ask you about Colt Sebosky in a minute. One of the people that went through a breakup here is the great Matthew Hussey, who is a relationship coach.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he drives me crazy, actually.
Oh.
I don't really have a problem with the stuff that he teaches. And I'm not saying that he's not a good relationship coach because he went through a breakup, but I was just surprised to see him on the list because he teaches, like, you know, make sure that he's really into you. And if he's into you, you'll know. And,
right.
You know, I mean, it's just totally good stuff. My problem is, he says, is his marketing. He's like, I'm going to teach you the secret of how to get a man to be fall in love with you. But it's so powerful that I almost don't want to share it with you. And I'm trusting you with this powerful information. Oh. And click $99 and then you'll get this powerful information. I mean, you really, it's really, And I went through the process as like a...
Sounds a little bit like a snake oil salesman.
It's a little bit, yeah. And like I said, actually what he's teaching, because I went through, I had to know.
Right.
I was just like, what is this guy doing? And you know, the information was fine.
Sure.
You know, so, but just, you know, read Why Men Love Bitches. You'll learn everything you need to know so that he's teaching. And so it was fine, but it was just, it was very like playing on emotions and baiting people in, which I don't, and really not ultimately really telling you how to work on yourself, but right. just sort of telling you how to text better or whatever.
Right.
It's like, and it's all true. Like, it's good advice as far as that goes, but it's not going to change who you are and what you attract.
Right.
So that's all. Sorry, Matthew. I mean, good on you. Glad you're making money, but
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So, sorry about the breakup. You can get my course.
Yeah, get Sophie's course. And if it doesn't work, you can always just stay home yeah. and cry on your
Maybe
sacks
you can
of
write
money.
Me a bad review and, you know, and when, you know, we can have a social media war.
Oh.
Like, if the coaches go to war.
That's always
yeah, I'm
good
not nearly
biz.
Famous enough for that. That's no. not going to happen. Nobody's going to give a shit what I think. So,
well, maybe you should start a fight.
I should start a
trolling.
Cult.
Well, yeah, start a cult. What were you going to ask me about cults?
No, I was just going to, like, because the reason that people join cults.
Uh huh.
Is because they're lonely, like, or they're hopeless.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
You know, and oftentimes because they're lonely and they don't have a sense of belonging.
Right.
And so when I think about, let's say the Church of Scientology did like just completely crumble, right? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of young people currently being raised in it mm-hmm. and families in it who are financially invested and even dependent on it because there's a certain amount of it, like when you're really involved, that's how you live, right?
Right.
In that the city in Florida or whatever, wherever.
Oh yeah.
There's like a lot of dependency on it, and so I think to myself, well, how? I mean, you're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of people. How do you? How do we help them out of that? You know, you just like, poof, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there are groups out there that help you get out of cults. There's got to be support groups. I don't know specifically yeah. about that church.
Right, but. Right. Yeah, it would just seem because when I see somebody really involved in a group that might seem like a cult, and I go, okay, if I want to encourage them to come out of that, I'm sort of encouraging them to go back to their lonely life.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. and because those cults sort of deliver in the in a lot of ways, sometimes even sexually, you know,
sure.
like there's, which is extremely powerful. Then what do you do? Like, how do you have any power over that? Like, to get somebody out of that and then
know.
To ask them to be...
I think it's up to the individual. I mean, I think that you can probably say the same thing about major religions, too. If you're
sure,
leaving it,
sure,
you
absolutely.
Do, especially if you grow up in it, you are
yeah.
dependent on it for a lot of things, social things and...
Yeah, family and acceptance.
Family and all that
mm-hmm,
stuff.
Absolutely.
So, It can be super hard, but I think it just comes down to the individual. I mean, I have a relative who, when she went to college, she wound up in a Christian cult.
Mm.
And she got out of it, but, mm-hmm. you know, she had to wake up and realize what she had become a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And she was smart enough that, like, she started processing some of the information she was getting as, that's not right. That
right.
doesn't feel right.
Right, yeah.
And then eventually it stacked up and then she got out.
Well, yeah, and I suppose the truth is that, you know, people get into all kinds of relationships because they're lonely, and they're you
sure.
know, and whether it's a cult or not. I was thinking, it was really striking me as how powerful a group of people that feel like a family, that feel, you know,
yeah.
all of those things,
yeah.
and how powerful that can be, particularly if they're, you know, offering things that, you know, the
well, and you're world. Right. I think it's so much of it is, oh, here's a world that I am welcome to.
Yes,
I am accepted, and there you're not really accepted. They want your body and your money for different reasons, but they're not really accepting you. Yeah. But that's what they sell.
Yeah.
And then they manipulate you and change you into a part of the cult. And then you're not you.
Yeah. And beliefs, you know, beliefs are just thought habits, you know. And so if you let somebody give you a belief often enough, it will become a thought habit and it'll become your own belief. And then that, you know, starts to become how your emotions are they're in relation to those beliefs, right?
And
it literally will work its way kind of into your bones and into your body. Like it just becomes who you are. And so that's just something to remember. And it's something to remember about just relationships in general. If you're not in a healthy relationship and your partner is sort of telling you that you are only valuable for certain things, or that you can't make it without them, or that you're no, you know, that this is who you are, basically. The reason that's so powerful is because you are taking on those beliefs. You're living in it. It's like your soup, basically. Right. And that becomes part of your cells emotionally. And so it is difficult to get out of that. And so what you do have to have a discipline, essentially, if you want to get out of that, if you feel that that's something that's not working for you, you have to have a discipline of almost every day just reading something more positive, or talking to your friends that's more positive, looking for another way to create community, another way to create belonging that can feel good to you. And it's not, but the, you know, we have this paradigm that being coupled is the most important. That's the most important way to feel community.
And
I'm here to tell you it's not.
No.
and it's, if it's what you want and you want something healthy, then that's great. Then go for that. But for you to stay in something just because it's got momentum, right? Mm-hmm. And it's part of your identity. You know, as you can see, even famous people, rich people, successful people, talented people, they all go through divorces. They all go through breakups.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, seeking some sort of external success or perfection is not going to lead you to, you know, the happy, cozy, loving relationship.
Right.
That it's not a one creates the other.
Right.
Right. As we can see on the tabloids.
Yes.
Right?
All you need to do is go to the grocery.
Yes. All you do. So you want to go to the grocery store after this? Like right now, we'll just go like read some shit.
Yeah.
Some people go to the library. I just go to the check stand, you know.
sit around there.
So you've been listening to MILF Talk, and I appreciate that. And if you want to check out Todd Robert Anderson's website, it's toddrobertanderson.com, right?
Yep.
Okay. And if you want, as I said, if you want free or almost free stuff, go to my website. I've got a divorce guide and a breakup recovery course and a texting guide. And of course, my book, Intentional Dating, is available on Amazon now, and the paperback will be coming out in January. So this is Sophie Venable reminding you that you don't have to make your life perfect. Just make it fabulous. We'll be right back.